Enjoy the convenience of 7 days a week banking and extended hours with Cube from First Arkansas Bank and Trust, member FDIC.
All right, it is 11:07, second hour. We got a very special guest in studio today.
Yeah,
William McIntyre is here, the Bryant product, Razorback pitcher extraordinaire.
Was that team issued shirt you got on? Oh, nice.
He doesn't have to buy his own gear yet, like you do.
Not yet. It'll come.
All right, we're going to get him rolling here in a second. Let's do a quick red-white report, and then we'll talk to Mr. McIntyre, who's out. Did good things on the Hill in his career and now doing good things off the Hill, as I guess it's associated to his time on the Hill, though. So it's all sort of coinciding. But anyway, we'll get to it. I don't want to be like too confusing. I'm confusing myself here.
The Red-White Report is brought to you by Southern Structural Solutions. If you need foundation repair or crawl space services, call Southern Structural Solutions at 501-581-9648 for a free quote.
All right, very brief Red-White Report. Sandy Morris didn't make it to the Olympics, and we're all sad. Former silver medalist just missed out. Finished fourth. Not good enough, unfortunately. I'd like to be fourth best in the United States at something and not be good enough.
The year she got silver, I say so close to being gold medal, it came down to not even an inch anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like high jumping, I guess.
You only got 2 inches of air.
Better meet the standard. Also announced this week, John Calipari. He's doing a satellite basketball camp in Russellville. What else would you? Satellite baseball camp. Now, satellite basketball camp in Russellville, July 19th. Kids who are entering first grade through those that have just finished sixth grade are eligible. So don't try sneaking your eighth grader in there. It's at Russellville High School, 9 to noon, July 19th on a Friday. It's $105.50. I don't know what the 50 cents is for.
You know they're going to take everything they can.
That's a pretty good deal, though.
Yeah.
Spend a day with Coach.
We got NIL to pay for.
Shoot, no doubt.
Yeah.
Got to do a lot more of these then. I ain't going to get it.
Do it once a day.
Anyway, that is your Red-White Report. Let's welcome in the former Razorback now, Will McIntyre, joining us. How are you, sir?
I'm good. Thanks.
Grab that mic and pull it right up to your face there, buddy.
Yeah.
How are you?
You good? Oh, yeah.
So what have you been doing since the season ended?
Just been hanging out. Preparing for pro ball and working kids camp, so that's been an adventure.
Yeah.
Nice. How much you charge, 150? 50 cents?
I don't know what's charged. It's okay. through all our coaches. I just help work it.
So, yeah. How long does that go through?
We run for like a kids camp. It's like Monday through Wednesday from 9 to 12. And then there's an afternoon hitting camp that I sometimes help work, which is like a one-time session.
Gotcha.
I don't really help with the hitting side because I don't really know much about that. So.
You're probably a pretty good hitter in high school, though, I'm assuming, yeah?
No.
Did you not hit at all?
As soon as people started throwing off-speed, I couldn't hit. So
I gave
up pretty quickly.
Okay. So what's the process like in between end of the season and the draft for baseball? Because do you guys do combines and stuff, or is that not a thing?
I mean, there's a MLB combine, but it's not like the NFL one because they're not going to get much from that. They've been watching you for a while, and I think they get more from games. I think that's more of just an eye test stuff. But it's only like a select few get to go to that. And then for me, it's just been working out. Kind of started like a off-season program, trying to get stronger and stuff, because in season we just maintain and don't stress our bodies that much. So I've just been trying to get stronger and been throwing some bullpens and stuff, just staying in shape.
Do you have any idea what kind of draft grade you've got right now?
No idea, no.
Do you have a hope? Like, you're like, I like to go by this round. I mean, have you thought about it?
I've heard anywhere from like 8 to 10, because like, how it works is that's like a money-saving round because I'm not in a position of power of leverage and stuff. And then I've also heard just like undrafted. So
okay,
how does it work? I just need the opportunity.
Yeah. Sure.
How does it work in your training? Like when you say stay in shape and all that stuff, you don't have to like condition or anything, do you? Or is that part of it?
That's part of it. It's not really conditioning. It's like we do speed work.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not the fastest guy, but it always helps to get faster because that can correlate.
Okay. Interesting.
So you've had a few weeks now since the season ended. Did you have a rooting interest in the finals?
No. I think I watched the last game, but other than that, I didn't watch a game until the season was over.
You're like us. We were hoping both teams would lose, but that's not possible, apparently. So give me kind of your thoughts on the season. Now, it's a little bit removed from it. You know, everybody was hopeful, and you guys kind of ran into a Kansas State team that was hot in the regionals, unfortunately. And you guys were a little shorthanded without Brady and some others, but how do you feel about sort of the season now that you've had a little bit of time to think about it?
I think the regular season was awesome. I think we played really well the whole season. We had our ups and downs. And then we just didn't play our best baseball at the end when it really matters. And I know fans are upset, and I know we were upset. But I have full faith that next year they'll get the job done.
There definitely was some fan base losing faith. And you guys have been so good, and you know, you get to number one in the nation. And so, yeah, obviously, people were very excited early. But did you guys kind of feel things slipping a little bit? I mean, you had a couple of injuries like we talked about. Obviously, the offense was not where anybody expected it to be. But did you guys feel that, or was that just external stuff?
I think that was just external stuff. I think we all thought that we were going to get through it and keep pushing, and kind of just ran out of steam there at the end and didn't play how we wanted to.
Yeah. How about for you personally? How'd you feel about your last go-around? Gonna let her sneak around you behind you. Yeah.
So, I mean, I have another year, so I'm in the decision process of, yeah. You know, I could pursue pro ball, I could come back. So I don't know if that was my last go around, but
I was just assuming that you were going professional. So I guess maybe I'm assuming too much.
I don't know, man. I love it. It's awesome up there. I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Best days of your life. I'm telling you, ain't nothing like the hill, man.
But for my season, man, I couldn't have started off better. And I mean, I'm just disappointed in myself, how I produced at the end of the season. But, you know, I still look back, and that was a good season for me, but just not how I wanted to finish for myself.
Other than going from non-con, you know, early season games, then you get into the juggernaut of the SEC, what changed for you think, as far as performance goes? Like, why were things tougher at the end of the year other than the level of competition, or was that it?
I mean, level of competition elevates. You know, sometimes pressure elevates because those games mean a lot more than early in the season do. Maybe I was just worn down. I didn't really know. I felt fine, but maybe I just didn't. Maybe I wasn't, but I didn't know it. And then also it was just I don't think I was playing to the best of my ability. So, yeah.
There we talked about it, and I tried to sort of talk people off the ledge a little bit. Unfortunately, you know, you guys didn't get out of the regional, so you know, I ended up a little egg in my face, but I was sticking up for you guys with the people who were negative. Like, you know, because they see, you know, when you guys aren't, they're like, oh, they didn't do this or they did that. I'm like, show me a team in the country that's perfect. Show me a team in the country that doesn't have a flaw, and show me a team in the country that wins every game. It doesn't happen. It's baseball. It's such a weird sport anyway. But I don't know. It's just a little frustrating, I guess. Did you guys sense any of the negativity at all as far as that goes? I mean, do you guys pay attention to social media? I know your folks probably do. Just they probably get riled up a little bit when people are being negative about it. But I'm thinking, guys, come on. What are we doing here? There's plenty of things to be excited about still. And yeah, there are some concerning things. And again, when Brady wasn't available and you had some other pitchers go down, you get a little thinner in the rotation. It gets tougher. But I don't know. And then Fisher, you know, I thought that was a pretty big loss. He's a guy that I thought could have helped you guys in the postseason. But do you hear about it secondhand even?
I mean, it's hard to get away from it. And you see it, but for me, I find it pretty easy to just block it out because, yeah. I don't know, it's just, as a player, you're like, more of just like, you see it, and you're like, oh, I'll go prove you wrong, that's my mindset, yeah. And then I know some people I've played with in the past see it, and then they kind of get in their head a little bit or something, but I'm sitting there, I'm like, man, they're not doing what you're doing, like, they're sitting there on their phone tweeting, yeah. And you're the one playing, mm-hmm. So you go out there and perform, and let them be the keyboard warriors.
Yeah, no doubt.
And they're not even good at that. They got, like, spelling errors all the time, too. Which is awful.
Talking to Will McIntyre in studio, we'll tell you the reason we actually brought him in today in just a second. Meredith's here, and you want to sit down?
Yeah.
I've had two kids.
Yeah, studio's tight. We got to stand up. Yeah, we got to move.
It's a terrible design. It's not like you haven't – you know how this place works. I'm sorry. It is bad.
Yeah, you've been here a few times.
The reason I assumed that you were moving on to the professional ranks – was because in the post-game press conference after the final game, you were pretty emotional. And again, you reflect on your time, and I know it's so sudden probably that it's over, and you guys did not anticipate the season to end that way, I'm sure. But what were you feeling in that moment in the post-game press conference, and what was your thought process at that point?
I just think, like, all the emotions of, like, the last 5 years had popped up, like, all the time spent, all the teammates I've played with, all the success and failure I've had as a player up there, and I think that all came to light in that moment just because, like, I didn't truly know what my decision was going to be in that moment, so I kind of just reflected in that moment, and I'm still trying to make that decision. It's kind of a tough decision to make just because you go pursue the dream of playing professional baseball that you've dreamt of as a kid, or do you also keep living the dream of playing at a high level in college and representing the state that you grew up in? So,
yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because that was my next question was, you know, in this era of NIL and player movement and the freedom of movement and it's easy to transfer and things don't go your way and it's easy to bounce around, you seem like a guy that you knew from a young age, like, I want to be a Razorback if I can. And it clearly meant a lot to you.
Yeah. School means a lot to me. Just getting to grow up and watch baseball, football, basketball, all that, it's something I've always dreamed of getting to do is being a Hog and getting to represent this state in a good light. So it's been a dream, and it's awesome.
Tell me about your relationship with Coach Hobbs and Coach Van Horn and what that's meant to you and what you've learned from them.
They've been awesome. Coach Hobbs is a tough coach, but it's the tough that you need. He's not gonna sugarcoat anything for you. He's gonna tell you the truth, whether you like it or not. But for me, that's the type of coaching I need. Is I just need somebody to be real with me. And then Coach Van Horn is just unbelievably knowledgeable. It seems like every time you talk to him, you're gonna learn something new about baseball. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
that's how I feel too.
About what?
When I talk to Coach Van Horn, I feel like I learned.
Oh, you
something
learned something new. Okay,
yeah.
All right.
You know, he was interesting. I thought he was very defiant in defense of you guys the night before the Kansas State game. And then after the game, you know, there was a lot of sort of lamenting, like, these are our shortcomings and this is what we've got to fix. I think he's incredibly honest, but he's also a guy that he's seen it all. He's been through it all. And I think I love the way he stuck up for your team, especially the offense, the night before the Kansas State game. But I also thought it was great to see him be honest about what were clear deficiencies with your team after that final game. And so that's the kind of guy, obviously, as a player, I know you guys are getting, you're getting it pretty cut and dried, right? And when you talk to Coach, he's not going to sugarcoat for you either.
Yeah, as a player, that's what you want. You know, you don't want somebody babying you and telling you it's all going to be good. You want somebody that's going to give you what they think and what they think reality is going to be for you, and you want to be able to see that reality and go out there and face it.
How was that at home growing up? Were you like that too? Did you get the tough sell from the parents, or were they pretty coddling with you? Were they pretty nice, or did you get the tough spiel?
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
High school baseball was here's the reality for you, and I'd say a little bit of the same for like Little League and stuff. So yeah, I enjoy that because I feel like that makes you a better person, is knowing what people think and knowing like what the situation's going to be instead of just like putting it off and fairy tale rainbows, all that.
Yeah, right.
Everything's going to be fine.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, you imagine some of the kids that went from a nice school, high school, and they meet Coach Petrino for the first time. World was blown.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. Is this, can he say that? Oh, yeah, he can say it. What are you like? Are you like that?
Me?
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Max is out there playing a little football, and you see something you don't like, you let him know about it?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
But we don't talk about it right after the game. I try not to, at least.
Okay.
We talk about it later on. But,
okay.
Yeah, Coach Petrino uses words that Coach Perry has never heard, I imagine.
Yes, very true.
So you definitely had to have a culture
shock. I got
shock.
My dose of spirited language in, is that a good word?
It's excellent.
You know, public school, middle school.
Sure.
It's a little different ball game.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. It's the things they would say, but it was also just kind of what we were used to.
Yeah.
And, like, yeah, we liked when coaches used to get after us because we knew ultimately they wanted us to be better. But it also depends on the relationship.
Sure.
Yeah, if it's a coach who doesn't take time to get to know their players and then they talk to you like that, then it comes off like, don't talk to me like that, bro. But if it's a coach who knows you and they care about you, then you, after you kind of cool down and take a deep breath, because sometimes you get a little mad, you understand it's coming from a good place.
Talking to Will McIntyre, Meredith Hale is here too, representing Cartai, and we'll talk about that thing real quick. I want to talk about it because that's really the focal point of today, although we've been talking about the season and your career. At what point did you think, yeah, I think I could play at Arkansas?
So my recruiting process is kind of weird. I had one offer going into, my senior year, Three Rivers Community College. And I go up there the summer. Going into my senior year, I go up there for like a prospect camp back when Wes Johnson was still the pitching coach.
Oh,
and I pitched good for like two innings. I think I struck out everybody faced, and just like pulled me aside and said, "Come up to my office when camp's over." And I get up there, and it's me, him, and my dad. And he's like, "We don't have any money to give." And then he like just explained, because I don't think we knew how scholarships worked in baseball. You get 11.7 for I think 40 guys, so it's tough to give out scholarship money in baseball. So they just gave me like a walk-on opportunity, and I talked about it with my dad, and he was like, you should do it. You know, you go up there for a semester. If it doesn't work out, you can always transfer out and go to a JUCO, and you have that on your resume, and you can look at other schools and be like, hey, I tried to play here or whatever. And I went up there and gave it a shot for a semester, played a little bit for my freshman year before it got canceled from COVID, and then yeah, that's been it. I've been up here since.
What's it been like being – we're on the outside looking in, and we've kind of dealt with it on our own side, and I think we've done the best we can in dealing with the NIL stuff and trying to, you know, utilize it for our purposes where our listeners can hear from guys, and, you know, obviously there's relationships built there with the players and some of the corporate partners that we've got here at The Buzz. But for a player who grew up as the NIL was developing, how was that process for you? Obviously it's been beneficial in some ways, and then you get to give back, which is what we're going to talk about today. But what was it like going through that?
Yeah, it's weird. I was caught in like two different eras. Like I'm in between. I was in college before the transfer portal was like a big thing, before NIL. And now I've been in college when that thing is, when it's first starting to happen, and nobody, I don't think, really knows the true rules of NIL and stuff. It's kind of like the Wild West a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's been cool getting to see it grow and see people have opportunities and help out others and use their platform.
You've been in school for a while now. So do you have a doctorate, or what's your degree? Are you done with schoolwork?
I have my degree in business marketing. Okay. And if I were to come back, I'd think I would start like graduate school for a master's.
So baseball's over someday. What do you see yourself doing?
I have not gotten that far yet.
You don't have to worry about it for a while. That's good.
I got a question. Out of the two, NIL and the transfer portal, what would you like to see get kind of fine-tuned first?
Maybe the portal, just because I know fans get upset, like, you know, having to learn names every single year. Mm. And it's like, for me,
who was that guy?
The audacity.
For me, it's kind of tough just because, like, I went from learning all the freshman names and maybe two transfers. Mm. And now, like, the last 2 years, it's like I have to learn 30 names and learn who these guys are.
It's hard to build team chemistry when that's the case,
I don't know,
right?
Yeah, it's kind of tough, but it's been good the last 2 years. But I also think it should just be like, I don't know, like a guy has to not sit out, but like you have a certain number of transfers. I don't know their positioning, but I've known guys that have like transferred three times. And I'm like, you kind of got to figure it out, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe the school's not the problem, you know? Maybe that's not it.
No,
stick it out.
100%.
Become better.
Meredith Hale joining us in studio as well with representing Cartai. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I am good. It is good to see you.
It is good to see you.
Let's
inside, because the last two times it's been real hot.
Yeah, I don't want to be outside at all. No. I may move in here and just not ever leave. Let's talk about the relationship with you and Cartai. How did this come about? And then you guys have a big announcement today at noon, but we're going to kind of spill the beans now. But how did this relationship come to be?
So I kind of got inspiration from our kicker, Cam Little. He did a thing where it was like for every, field goal or extra point he made, he donated X amount to a charity of his choice. And so when I was in high school, my dad went through cancer, and Cartai was the place where he got treated. Mm-hmm. And thankfully, he's in remission, and I just kind of wanted to try and step up and use my platform for a good cause. And so I wanted to choose Cartai as something that was personal to me, but I know it's probably personal to a lot of other people.
And you donated how much per strikeout? Was that what the situation was?
For me, it was $5. For the campaign, you could sign up to do whatever you wanted.
And so what is our total that we're going to be able to commit today?
Do you want to say it?
You can say it.
$12,250.
I think that's amazing.
Wow. That's
absolutely
fantastic.
Sheesh.
So this is earmarked for a specific use?
Yes, this is going to, well, I mean, unless he changes his mind, it is going to go to our patient assistance program. Mm-hmm. And we've all heard Alish Threshold. We've all, you know, heard what the poverty rates within Arkansas are. 70% of Cartai patients are low to moderate income. And We have nearly 1,000 every year who are asking. Well, last year it was 793. This year it was 962. We think it'll be another 1,200 in this year who need a little bit of extra help getting to their appointments, whether they live out of town and they don't have a ride, or they have a car, but it's groceries or gas. And we don't want them having to not choose to get to their appointments, or maybe they live out of town and they need to be here for a few days or near their treatment facility for a few days and they need a place to stay. So the patient assistance program will cover those out-of-pocket costs for our patients who need that assistance. And to know that there's hundreds, thousands of patients who that's how they're getting their treatment. That's how they're fighting this diagnosis. And we've been averaging $12,000 a month just in rides alone, for up to about 115, 120 patients. So that's 120 patients, 120 of their families and their friends who will be able to get their treatments and not have to worry about how they're going to get there and how they're also going to be able to pay their bills, because Will had the desire and the heart to give back to the community and to give back to an organization that had a personal connection to him. Mm-hmm. And we are just, it's amazing. When we first started talking, it was his dad who I was working with. When we first started talking, it was like, okay, we set the goal at $1,000. And I think it was a total of five or six times that we had to change that goal, because he was doing a great job. And he said earlier that he didn't have the performance that he wanted. But one thing that a lot of people don't know is that to get to that 12,250, he had a goal of 80 pitches or 80 strikeouts that he wanted to throw. And he might not have gotten there, but we're still so proud of what you did. He is contributing the difference. So what he anticipated doing, he still did that. And there are a lot of people who made some large gifts to this campaign because they were inspired by him. And I'm a Bryant Hornet graduate, you know, so I had that connection. His mom was my sixth grade English teacher at Bryant Middle School. I'm a huge Hog fan. So there were a lot of personal connections to it for me. My mother-in-law was a patient at Carti. So a lot of amazing ways that we were connected that I've been fangirling this whole time.
When your dad, Madison, found out about this, what was his reaction that you were going to be doing this?
I think he loved it, and I think it meant a lot to him just because he went through a period there getting treatment from them. And this is my way of just, I don't know, not apologizing to him, but I just, for me, is like, I was in high school and I was ignorant. And I don't think in that moment, I knew like how serious of a situation it was. I was just sitting there thinking like, oh, my dad's young, he's fine, like, he'll get over this. But like, looking back and reflecting, like, it was a serious ordeal, and thankfully he's okay.
No doubt. I bump into him at a game every once in a while, so it's always good to get his perspective. And I know he's, you know, obviously rooting for you and the team, and he's a huge, you know, Hog fan in addition to being your dad, so it's cool, and I'm glad he's doing well. It's a great thing. You know, the next time we complain about NIL, let's remember today, because this is the good side of the NIL, where it can benefit a lot of people if we've got the right folks involved and have their heart in the right place. It's very cool to see, and I really applaud you for what you've done. If Hagen Smith had been involved and done $5 a strikeout, you could build an entire new Carti campus this year. Let me get your perspective as a guy who pitches at the highest level in college with what Hagen was able to do. Unanimous, All-American, dominant from the beginning of the season on, and just watching him work and the way he goes about it and what he does that's special from another pitcher, what stands out to you about his the way he does things?
Unbelievable. I have said this since I have met him. That guy has went out there and earned everything he has done. He is one of the hardest workers I've ever seen when it comes to, you know, just the mundane things of just playing catch, like doing your daily stuff. And in the weight room, he's one of the most gifted athletes and like talented athletes I've ever seen. And he doesn't take it for granted. Like, he goes in there and earns it every single day. Mm-hmm. So like, being able to say I played with him, it was an honor. And like, somebody I look up to is like the way he carried himself and acted.
Think he's got some potential at the major league level?
Maybe.
Yeah, he's. It was fun, and again, I think it was fun watching all you guys. It was a good ride. I hate that things fizzled out a little earlier than everybody anticipated. So, Is it strictly based for you, before we let you get out of here, strictly based for you on your decision as to where you get drafted? Is there more to it than that? Signing bonus matter? What are you thinking about?
It has nothing to do with money, honestly. It just...
That's what they always say.
It doesn't. Okay. Yeah, it literally just depends on, for me, it's like, do I want to keep living my dream of playing for the Hogs, or do I want to move on and pursue the next dream?
Do I want to learn 30 new teammates' names?
Yes.
Because you will.
Worth it.
Yeah, I mean, you're like the old head. You get to be the leader now.
I've been getting nicknames all this last year. I don't want to get new nicknames this year for being the old guy in the locker room.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it's cool. I mean, it's got to be, you know, you've seen, like we talked about, you've seen the evolution of the sport really in a lot of ways. And especially for baseball guys, it's not like football where you've got, 100 scholarships to give out. I mean, baseball is tough.
Mm-hmm.
And now that the NIL has probably helped your sport as much as any up there.
Oh, yeah. It's helped people pay for their school because, you know, splitting 11.7 scholarships between 40 guys means you might get nothing. You might get a quarter or half a scholarship. So. Yeah, being able to pay off student tuition and stuff has been awesome.
Yeah, no doubt.
Maybe you and the guy on the football team, y'all can link up, you know, go to play badminton, or what's the dude's name? Who's the old guy on the football team?
Oh, you're talking about the kid that came in that was playing baseball?
Yeah. How old is he?
He's like 26.
27, 28.
I thought he was 28.
Yeah, okay.
Y'all can hang out, you know?
Yeah.
Do what us old folks do.
Yeah, we still need to get him on. That's a crazy story, too, but anyway. Yeah, it's wild stuff in the world of sports. We're just talking about old gymnasts.
Can you throw a football?
Not well.
Oh.
I try and throw it like a baseball.
Did you play as a kid?
Football?
Yeah, did you play growing up a little bit or not?
I played up until like freshman year of high school.
Gotcha.
I didn't have a future in
basketball, it. Anything else? Did you play anything else down there?
Up until middle school.
Yeah. You got locked in pretty early. You knew what you were doing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Well, it worked out. Well, listen, best of luck to you. Congratulations on your achievements on the field and obviously off the field here. And I'm glad for Kartai, and I'm glad for you guys, and I'm glad that this all came to fruition. So today, if people want to come and watch, I suppose it's okay. Is this a public event today?
Sure.
Whatever.
It is now.
We do have some media outlets that are going to be there. And, we just wanted to make a big deal about it. It's a big deal. It's something great that he did. I love that his dad, Madison, did play such a huge role in this just because he wanted Will to be able to focus on his season. And there were a lot of 7 p.m. phone calls with your dad or while they were driving up to Fayetteville. So to be able to work with him this past year to help make it happen, we wanted the opportunity to celebrate you and show our appreciation to you for all that you've done.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, listen, best of luck to you no matter what's next. And we'll keep an eye on, hopefully we can get you on again after you make your decision.
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. Appreciate it. All right, Will McIntyre, good stuff from him, and always good to see Meredith as well. And we're going to hit a break. It's 11:34.